Y'all, let's be musical about this. Be wrong, strong, okay? Otherwise, live out. Let's go, Gil. Count up.
One, two, one, two.
There are, of course, musical and personal facts in there, but I think Cheadle wisely chose to just select a particular slice of his life and look backwards and forwards. This film takes place in just a matter of days during his great silence period in the mid-70s when ill health and career fatigue and excessive drug use had him retreated into his New York City brownstone, kind of paranoid and delusional.
That's a great period to build a movie around, and they worked on the script, and producers, Don Cheadle, did a Kickstarter to raise some funds for it. The notes of the soundtrack talk about putting together musical sessions with Herbie Hancock and other Gary Clark Jr. that nobody knew about.
Yeah. What is the essence of the film then? What do we get out of this? I mean, is it a good film?
It is a good film.
Okay.
You know, it's Cheadle's first directorial effort, so there are sort of his own creative vision. It's really Don Cheadle imagining Miles Davis imagining himself in a film, how he might tell his story. And the story is both in the present and in the past, and kind of bleeds together back and forth artistically, visually, and historically.
That opening clip with Count It Off, that was part of the writing and the session in Poor Game Bess
with Gil Evans.
Nice flashback there, Miles with short hair. We have a clip. This one captures the essence of the Miles we are asked to imagine. This discussion between him and the rock writer.
Yeah, the Rolling Stone columnist who's trying to get an exclusive on his comeback. And here's Miles kind of reflecting on his life with his then wife Frances, as well as what music and music innovation means to him.
So, studied piano too, huh?
Nah, just woke up black, knew how to play.
You're black?
Frances loves Chopin.
Yeah, she looks like a classy chick.
That's all we ever play at the house, you know, classical music. Chopin, Stravinsky, you know, we throw on some Ravel. I studied all them cats, man. Broke down their compositions. These revolutionaries, innovators, you know, pushing back at that standard classical bag. Chopin, it's all about improvisation. Bird and Diz was doing that on stage every night, on the fly. Didn't write it down. Just came out of him. I wanted to quit every night. You know, old people, they come up to me and they say, why don't you play like you used to? I say, tell me how I used to. It takes a long time to be able to play like yourself. Man, don't do nothing like you used to. Music don't move on and it's dead music, you know.
Ain't that the truth?
So much in there.
One point I want to emphasize is that there's a lot that's been made of Miles's less is more approach to the trumpet. And I think we see this in Don Cheadle's voice in this film. The phrases and the spaces that he uses in between what he has to say, sometimes profound and poignant, sometimes acerbic and biting, sometimes funny, sometimes cruel. But they are, to me, they're sort of verbal metaphors of the voicing of Miles's horn.
Miles Davis is profiled in this movie, Miles Ahead, produced and directed, written by Don Cheadle. And we look forward to its opening tomorrow, Friday the 22nd at the Mayan.
One last thing is that Don Cheadle taught himself to play the trumpet for this. He was already a skilled alto saxophonist, but what you see on the film is really accurate fingering and embouchure over classic Miles Davis cuts or the improvisation of Kenyon Harold, one of the young trumpeters that music producer Robert Glasper put together as a fantastic band.
Here's Robert Glasper with Kayvon Harold, as you were mentioning, on trumpet. Let's check out Gone 2015 as part of the Miles Ahead Original Motion Picture soundtrack.